Afternoon Champs 98.5. Of course, you know what we do. We like to tell our story. We like to educate and inform our community about issues that affect their well-being. In the studio, very distinguished guest, Dr. V. Issa White is in the studio. He's running for U.S. Congress here in Florida. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing great. It's good to be here. Thank you.
Man, good to be in your presence. I heard a lot of good things about you. The brothers just really, really are very impressed with the work you've done. You've got so much going on. I don't know if he can dive into everything.
You know.
But in the short, what can you tell Pine Hills, those who don't know you, about Dr. White?
Well, Dr. White is a person who is an academic, who is a social activist, and who is committed to the needs and the causes of the African-American community. It's that with me, even though I have a PhD, I also have a PhD in the street, I understand what's taking place because I've been there. They need someone who represents them, who's not afraid to be to raise questions, and people who have a real desire to see things done. That is me. I'm not afraid. I don't care about what people think. All that I care about is doing what is right for the African American community and the underprivileged communities in our county.
Let's talk about academia. You have a doctor's degree. Where are you educated at?
Oh man, you know you're from Michigan, right? So I did my PhD from Ohio State. I hope you don't kick me out.
No, it's all good. None of love.
But actually, my first degree was at Bethune-Cookman University in Daytona Beach.
Wow.
Then Purdue University. Did some time at the University of Chicago and Ohio State, where I got my PhD.
Wow. So you spent a lot of time in the Midwest then.
I love the Midwest. I mean, before coming here, I was teaching at the University of Illinois.
Wow.
I was the head of the History Department and the African American Studies Department. The Midwest is my academic route. I taught at the University of Cincinnati as well.
Now, you have also been involved in government. Like, you've been involved with the White House, right?
I've been on 3 White House commissions under Clinton as well as the Bush. In fact, it's very interesting because when I became a member of the White House commission, I was a Republican. But a good friend of mine by the name of John Glenn, a Democrat from Ohio, had me put on that board. And I ran with that. The point is that even though I was of a different party, they both understood that I was about the needs and the concerns of the people. I was never a partisan to any party.
That's important because nowadays you get people who just carry that one message to everybody. Whatever the Democratic Party say, they're going to carry that message. They don't deviate.
Yeah.
You know, we need independent thinkers.
Absolutely. I mean, when you begin to align with yourself with one party and their view, you're not a person any longer. You're a slave to that man or that woman's thought. And now African-American people, underclass people, poor whites are beginning to get out of that position because both parties, sadly, practice and follow an American hegemony. Mm. That is an element of control, mind thinking. You do what they want you to do. One of the saddest things that I've seen at meetings is that when a person goes to a meeting, they say, I'm a proud Democrat. I'm a proud Republican. You sound like a proud fool. All right? Because you should be saying that you're a proud person that's going to be of interest to your people and you would die for your people. That's what you should be saying.
Wow. Wow. You're running as an independent.
MPA. The difference between an independent, there's an independent party.
Okay, there's an independent party?
Yeah, in
really?
Florida.
Oh,
okay.
Wow,
So and then I have good friends there too. But an MPA is something different. Let me tell you about the MPAs that's so vital and strong that no candidates have gone after them. We have 280,000 registered independents in this county. We only have 201,000 Republicans, and we're just touching almost 300,000 Democrats. But we know that the Democrats are losing their people by tons,
because
of their policies. Right. So therefore, we're going after the MPA because the MPAs are like me. They are not concerned about parties. They want people to respect to present their interests.
Mm-hmm.
And they're concerned about American values. They're concerned about wars. They're concerned about housing. They're concerned about bread and butter things that both parties are not concerned about at all.
Well, in the studio, Dr. V. Issa White. Is I'm saying that right?
Issa.
Issa. Issa. I see the ISSA, and I want to say Issa.
Yeah.
What that has an African name. That's an African name.
Well,
right?
it's Arabic African.
It's okay? Arabic African.
And that's interesting because, as you know, you've been to Tanzania, you've been to Kenya.
Yeah.
All of that is an African-based Islamic community. It's a mixture.
Yeah.
Just like we mix Christianity and our African base here in the United States.
Right.
So Isa is a name that means Jesus.
Ah.
All right? Then the proper meaning of Jesus is the one who can't be bent.
All right. Watch out.
I'm not bending. I don't scratch, but I don't itch.
And they get along over there, too. That's
absolutely. Absolutely.
They get along.
Like both countries, if you have a president who is a Muslim, the vice president must be a Christian.
Really? See, I didn't know that.
Absolutely.
That's dope. So I love it.
In fact, the only ones who have this problem are this made-up problem in the United States.
Yes.
All right? Yeah. We create narratives that don't exist. Wow. Then we as people believe into them, and we end up fighting somebody else's agenda.
So are you running for the House, or are you running for the Senate?
The House. House of Representatives. The House of the People.
Now, who currently sits in that position?
There's a gentleman by the name of Maxwell Frost.
Okay. So have y'all been in the same? Have there been any debates together or what?
No, I would love to have a debate with him, but you know, there's something in the Quran that says that when truth comes, falsehood vanishes. Every time I show up, and I mean, he's there.
What are your differences? What policies that he's for that you're against?
Well, first of all, he's for open borders. I think that's strange because open borders hurt African-American people. At one time, the African-American community was the strongest and most viable minority group. Now we're fourth tier. All right, so that means that you're begging for entry and favors from other people who may not have your interests at heart.
Right.
So therefore, when you have this open border, you're having people who don't have your values, don't have your thoughts, and before you know it, very quickly, they become dominant within your society.
Right.
So therefore, the African-American stays the same. So open borders hurt us.
Right.
All right? Now, some people say, oh, I'm against aliens. My father was an illegal alien. My family's from Costa Rica and Panama, all right? But when he got his papers, when he was deported, he got his papers together and he came back the proper way.
Proper way.
All right?
Right?
And that's important. It may take a little bit longer, but we have to do things that protects, especially the American community.
Right.
And especially the African in the United States. We got to protect that interest. I'm going to tell you why. Because now, for example, the highest income group are Asians, over $110,000.
Right.
The next white Americans, 84.
Right.
The next white Latinos,
right.
68. African Americans, $44,000 a year.
At the bottom.
Right. All right. Something is wrong with this.
Right.
All right, when you lay the foundation and you open up the privileges for other people and you don't benefit.
Mm. You know, that is an interesting policy because, you know, I had Maxwell Frost on, Representative Maxwell Frost. We talked about the borders and how important, why is it that they can come in for free and we got to pay when we go other places. You know, I mean, people just come in for free and just come on. There's no stop, but they're stopping Africans down there.
Absolutely.
They're stopping Haitians down
Absolutely.
There. Jamaicans, you trying to come in, they're turning them around because they're not on that list of countries.
That's right.
That whole system needs to be redone, do away with, because most of us don't even know what countries are allowed, why are they allowed. So we need to get that right. But then again, when it comes to visiting America, most African countries can't come here.
That's right. I mean, I know
they get denied.
I know people from Tanzania,
right.
Kenya, Ghana, Sierra Leone, and so on.
Right.
They spend 8 to 10 years trying to get a visa. All right, that is unheard of. That is wrong. Now, let's go back to the border a second. One of the big lies they make out, they say, is that Haitians are almost the majority of the people coming in. That's a lie they put out.
Yes, a lie.
All right?
Right?
They're not. They represent less than 1%.
Right.
Secondly, when Haitians do get in, they send them back. They either send them to Guantanamo Bay or to the Bahamas.
Wow.
That is the Biden's position. It's been kept very, very quiet. Why is this important for us? Because in Orange County, we have about at least over 100,000 Haitian people.
Exactly.
All right.
Here in Pine Hills.
That's right.
A good chunk of them right here.
And no one is talking about their interests again.
Exactly.
This week, I have a number of Haitians coming in for the Black World Conference of Mayors. You got to be there.
Yes.
All right. Yeah. And a number of them I'm going to be hosting them at my house.
Wow.
All right.
That's
and
great.
I get the real stories.
Wow. No, were you in corporate? I know you've been in government policy. You ever been in corporate? America?
No, I've never been. No more than a consultant.
As a consultant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Wow. Dr. VY is in the building. Dr. V. Issa-Y is in the building. He's running for Congress. And we're going to have you back because we know that primaries isn't until August the 20th-something. And so we got time. But how can people reach you? And I want to get into a couple other things. How can people reach you?
Well, first of all, you want to go to our website. And listen carefully. It is Dr. D-R-I-S-S-A for Congress. Dr. D-R-I-S-S-A for Congress.com. We will respond to you there.
We're going to take a break, come back, and talk to you a little bit more. People, keep a lot to your community station. This is what we're all about, is bringing the information to you, unfiltered information to you right here, 98.5. Be right back. What do they call you on the street, Dr. V?
Well, a lot of them.
Big V?
Some of them do call me Big V. All right, they call me Dr. V, call me Brother V, call me Brother Issa, Dr. White. The reason why the people know me on the street because I help brothers. Did you also know that I do expungements?
No, I didn't know that.
Because there's a lot of brothers and sisters get jammed up. And they have their cases, reversed, but they never get it expunged. And many of them don't have the money. So I have a program whereby I do expungements for brothers and sisters.
Wow.
All right?
Wow.
Because all of them need to have the opportunity to live their life.
Wow. What are your thoughts on what is going on in the Middle East with the Palestinians, Gaza Strip, the mass murders that have occurred since October the 6th, October the 7th?
Well, first of all, it's appalling that our administration has closed their eyes to the issue of genocide completely. And it's not just the administration, but also people across the aisle. And then secondly, it's appalling that we don't have enough strong representatives to speak out on it and make policy on it. And a lot of it is our fault as people who are in Congress. Because I'm going to give you a case in point. For example, all of them in Congress voted for the extension of military armament for military bases in Syria as well as Iraq. Wrong. They should not do that. They should not have done that. Secondly, they have put money into the building of another military base outside of Gaza.
Wow.
All right. This is before the conflict.
Okay.
What does this do? This emboldens Israel to become more and more aggressive. So therefore, it's wrong what they're doing. But the United States can do something. All right. The United States has a history of getting rid of leaders that they don't like. They need to utilize that to get rid of Netanyahu. Because he's not good for Israel. He is not good for Gaza. He's not good for the Middle East. And he's surely not good for the United States.
Didn't he lie about the weapons of mass destruction?
Yes, he lied about everything.
Led us into a war?
Absolutely.
Got folks killed and all that because of a lie?
Yes, all of these things. And so what's taking place is that if we're concerned, and if the government is concerned about stopping this massacre, and that's what it is, we should need to push Biden to say, listen, get rid of this guy. The United States has the power and the strength to do it. But you know what's so sad about this?
Uh-huh.
It's that many African Americans have almost as taken off their hands, their gloves, and saying that they don't want to be involved with it.
I don't think the African Americans have been fed the news, because a lot of African Americans now, unfortunately, get the information on Facebook and Instagram. Though that information on Facebook and Instagram has been filtered out. They've gotten rid of people like Sean King on Instagram, who was putting information out about what is going on over there. And they're setting the algorithms that we don't see this news trending. You go online and you know Siri, Alexa, all of them are listening to everything you do. These apps, you give them permission. But when you go online, they're going to give you ads about everything or get you posts about everything you don't talk about except this.
Mm-hmm, that's true. But still, academics know the truth.
Yeah.
Ministers know the truth. Politicians know the truth. They have to tell the truth. I mean, it's appalling. Last week was Martin Luther King's holiday here in Orlando, right?
Right.
All right. Nobody in the Martin Luther King community wanted to talk about the issue of Martin Luther King hating war.
Right.
All right.
Right.
That's why he was killed. He said Vietnam was a terrible thing. I cannot tell black young people in the ghetto to go and fight to kill peasants who was trying to get trying to become free.
Mm.
All right, while you haven't met freedom. Now the African American community is running from that
right.
completely, and something's wrong with that.
Right.
We have the knowledge, we have the leadership that can say it, but they don't have the backbone. And that's what my campaign is about, is to have the backbone to speak the truth, do the right thing, and don't be bossed, like Shirley Chisholm used to say, do not be bossed or bought by anyone.
Shout out to Dr. Mark Lamont Hill.
Oh, my man.
I got a soundbite. I was going to run this today anyway. And I'm cutting your time, so we're going to come back with another segment, because you just brought up a point. President Biden was in a pulpit at a church speaking in
South Carolina. Charleston.
In Charleston,
the
exactly.
home of Denmark Vesey.
Yes. And use that to kind of like go with what the Jews were doing, what Israel is doing. And Mark Lamont Hill, he went off on this. I want you to check out this segment here, and we'll come back with Dr. V in the building here on 98.5 The Wire.
Bourgeois Negroes who will allow the church to be used as a shield for empire.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Last week, there was a protest in the Great Mother Emmanuel AME Church in South Carolina. A beautiful church, a historic church, a church birthed out of struggle. Birthed out of the struggle of the African Methodist Episcopal tradition, which is built on saying black folk have a right to preach to the word of God, and not just to other black folk. Black folk have a right to full humanity and full participation. Don't tell me you love God and you obey the commandments of God and the word of Jesus and tell me that black folk ain't got the same rights. So the AME Church is a church of struggle. And it's also a church of tragedy. We know that Dylann Roof went into that church and killed 9 beloved saints as they were praying. So I was a bit struck last week when I saw that they opened the pulpit up to Genocide Joe. Y'all can get mad, I don't care. And people, as he began to give his campaign speech, some protesters stood up and said, stop the blood in Palestine.
Yeah, yeah.
They said, if you're outraged by the blood of Selma and you're outraged by the blood that was spilled in this very church, then how about calling for a ceasefire in Palestine, since you're giving them the weapons, you're giving them the support, you're giving them the money. Joe, why don't you do something about it? They marched and stood up and got kicked out of the church, and people said, we're outraged. You know, I was outraged too.
Yes, sir.
How dare you use this sacred space?
Yeah.
How dare you use this beloved pulpit? How dare you use this sacred tradition? How dare you use the words of Jesus, who overturned the tables in the temple, who was committed to overturning a Roman government, who was committed to speaking out against injustice? How dare you use this space as a shield for imperial war? How dare you use this space as a shield for violence? How dare you use this space as a shield for genocide? The moral atrocity that took place wasn't some disruptive protesters. It was the fact that you allowed the leader of the most violent and bloody empire in modern history to stand in this place and represent a tradition that he ain't got nothing to do with.
Yeah. Yeah.
How dare you?
Mark Lamont Hill. I didn't know he can preach like that.
Oh, man, he's a brother.
Yeah. The term, he gave a new hashtag, Genocide Joe.
Yeah. Lamont Hill is absolutely right. You know, before Lamont Hill, there was Dr. White. I always used to be on CNN, but I got canned because I said something wrong, too. But
wow.
But Mr. Hill, Dr. Hill said the right thing. And it's a shame that the black congressman out of South Carolina, who gave the invitation to the president to come there and laid the foundation to speak there, it's a shame. Right. It's wrong.
Right.
And every Democrat who supports Biden should be kicked out. Because if you're supporting him, You're supporting genocide. And we, out of all people, right, we know what genocide is. There are hundreds of African ethnic groups that we never know, right, that was affected by genocide with the transatlantic slave.
Exactly.
And we have had genocide within our own country, and we're still having it. He's absolutely right. And also, what's so sad about it is that that church was developed, was part of the church of Denmark Vesey. He was an African who fought, laid his life on the line to fight for freedom and justice, just like the Palestinians. Mm. All right? He was before Nat Turner.
Exactly.
All right? Yeah. So people got to see that. So if any minister in this town, if you're standing up for Biden and this principle, you need another course in your Christianity.
What they're going to say, Dr. White, is that the alternative is Trump. And what do you say to that?
There's no such thing as a lesser of two evils. We got to get out of this foolishness. All right? They're both parties leading the same thing. We get caught up in this fake argument. I mean, Malcolm put it this way. If a man put a knife in your back and it goes in 9 inches, and another man puts a knife in your back and it goes in 6 inches, are you going to say the one that went in 6 inches feels better than the one that went in nine inches? They both hurt. So there's no difference when it comes to our cause in reference to Trump or Biden or the Republicans or the Democrats. There was a guy by the name of Claude Anderson.
Yes.
Definitely. Wonderful professor.
I've had him on before.
All right. And he said that it's time that we begin to push our own interest and vote as a bloc to get what we need. Don't get caught up in these fake, foolish arguments.
Doc, one more segment. Just give me a few more minutes. We're going to take a break, come back, because it's something I want to get you to address, if you don't mind, about what happened during the parade. Kind of clear the waters on what happened with the parade here in Orlando. Get your thoughts on it.
Okay.
Be right back. It's Afternoon Jams. Dr. V. Issa Wright is here. This is an exclusive interview. We're going in. It's not just about him running for race. It's about him empowering and educating us on some issues that we need to talk about as black folks. Keep it here. Afternoon Jams 98.5. Make sure you download our app, Emoja Radio. Dr. V. Issa Wright is in the building. He's a candidate for U.S. Congress, Florida District 10. The primary is coming up on later on in the year, but you're running as a NPA. So what does that mean, NPA affiliate, non-party affiliation?
That's what it means. And it means that I'm not going to be taking any rules and regulations and being bossed by the Republicans or the Democrats. I am my own man, and that I will speak for the interests of the American community, and I will speak sensible things that are right and just.
Okay, a couple of things I want to ask you about policy before we get into the parade and then close this thing out. Marijuana has been a crime from the federal level for a while. It's legal in probably about 30 states and illegal in other states, and it can be used for medicine purposes. What are your thoughts on that?
Marijuana should be legal all over.
Why do you think it's not legal on the federal level?
I think because people can make money from it. I mean, the federal level, they're always about money and about taxes and so forth. So I think that they're making it very, very difficult, and they don't have to. I mean, it's been proven that it's good for municipal purposes. It's been proven that it is not addictive.
Right.
It's been proven that it's a viable herb that should be utilized, especially in some religions and so forth. So it should not be denied.
Now, the federal government has expunged people with marijuana crimes, right? They did that, right? Or maybe
no, they have that. Individual presidents have done that.
Okay,
all individual. Right. That's right. They haven't done that across the board. In fact, everyone that's in American jails for selling marijuana, for smoking marijuana, they should just open the door, let them out.
Exactly.
Because right now, 95% of the American people have had marijuana.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah.
About 99% of the politicians.
Yeah. What would it take to make it legal? Do the president have to do it? Do Congress have to do it?
No, Congress can do it. I mean, one of the first things that I would do as a congressman, I would put it on the board, on the floor as a bill, and get the support to do it. I mean, it's a hypocritical bill, a hypocritical act to have people in jail for marijuana charges. This is not the 1960s or 70s.
Right, right. All right?
It just takes the will to do it. Then you have to have a firm argument. What happens is that many of the Congress people, they're not really good academically. So they don't know how to frame the argument. They don't know how to write the argument, and they don't use common sense approaches. They do things that appease their friends,
right,
their colleagues, but not the American people.
Individual states have their own laws on LGBTQ rights in some things, and I know there are frictions between the LGBTQ community. Do you think it is okay for a kid who was born a boy, reassigned, gets a sex change, become a girl, to compete in sports against born girls?
First of all, if you have a child that's 16, 14, 12, 9, I think they had a child here a few months ago who was a marshal in the gay parade, who had a sex change operation. I think she was 12 years old. A parent should be held on charges of child abuse.
Right.
First of all, they can't make that decision.
Still
that
a kid.
That is absolutely wrong.
Yep. Can't vote, can't smoke, can't carry a gun.
That's right, but they can do this.
Yeah.
All right, so it is completely wrong.
What about the game part? Because this has become one of those issues, hot button issues. Should this kid that was born a boy be allowed to play?
Absolutely not.
On a team or play against girls when they become a girl.
I used to be a boxer, right? You know, right. I boxed in Detroit for a second.
Okay,
all right. Now, if a woman comes in front of me and she says that she's a man, and I fight her, mm-hmm. they'll probably put me in jail for manslaughter.
Exactly.
All right, because she cannot compete with this. And so they're to make this strange argument that realigned surgery can turn one person into another sex. That is ludicrous. That is wrong. That is not viable to the interest of the American community. And that's not part of the African-American sojourn.
Wow. And I know that's a hot button issue.
We have to speak the truth on it.
Yeah.
I mean, we can play with it and say, with the larger community. Well, it's not even a large community, because that community in the United States represented only about 4% of the American population.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. So we're letting a small group dictate policy on this.
Do you think schools should be allowed to teach all these subjects about sex, gender reassignment, to elementary kids?
Not elementary children. I think it should be taught if they're in 11th or 12th grade.
Okay.
All right. Because these kids are getting ready to go to college. They're more mature to do this. But when they're at the elementary school, no, not at all. At the elementary school level, kids, is for fundamentals.
Mm-hmm.
You know, basic arithmetic, writing, history, those fundamentals so they can go forward. They cannot analyze and conceptualize what is taking place at that age. And if you think that a child, on the average child, can do that, there's something wrong with your thinking.
Well, recently you had an issue at the parade. Was it downtown Orlando parade?
Absolutely.
In your words, they discriminated against you.
Absolutely. December 21st, we paid entry to the Jaycees parade, which is really an extension of the city of Orlando.
Mm-hmm.
All right, people don't know that. Then when we paid entry, one of the first people to pay entry, and when we get there, they put us at the back of the line, far back, knowing that they were not going to allow us to march. I asked, the police came to us and said, "You're not going to be able to march." I said, "Why not? What ordinance did we violate of the city?" They couldn't answer. Then the JC's manager or the executive leader came back and said, "You're not going to march. We don't like your message." I said, "What about our message?" Our message was on war is an evil, a direct quote from Martin Luther King. The issue was that they were trying to protect the political elite who wanted to push an agenda, again, pushing an agenda on the African-American community that is not viable and right. So the only way they can do this was to silence me. They knew full well they was not going to let us march. What happened was that they put us in the back and they can easily take us out and nobody would see.
Mm.
You see?
Wow. And all the signs said was war isn't evil?
War isn't evil.
Did it have anything in reference to the Israeli-Gaza conflict?
We had some boxes with sheets on them that represent the people who have died in Israel as well as in Gaza and the Congo. All mm-hmm. right. Saying that war is unnecessary is bad.
Wow.
All right. But they did not want this because they were afraid. They're part of the establishment. And this is what we're talking about. When you're part of the establishment, you push an agenda on the African-American community. And before you know it, the African-American community says, well, we got to go with it because there's no alternative voice.
Hmm. Well, I hope you're going to, you know, seek some kind of legal litigation.
Absolutely. They picked up the wrong Negro.
There you go.
All right. I mean, I'm from the Midwest. My people are from Central America. We're going to fight back. No. You hit me. I hit back. I think Donald Trump said that, too.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to. What else you want to say to the people before we go?
I want them to follow us. If you want a real candidate, a person who speaks your interest, then you check out our campaign. And work with our campaign. We are poor. We're not getting no money from any corporate executive or corporate entity. We don't want it. But your nickels and dimes, like your nickels and dimes help Marcus Garvey, your nickels and dimes can help us to overcome and to achieve. Go to our website. You'll see our events that's taking place this week. Speaking Thursday night at Valencia College, West Campus, for the incentive awards. Friday night, I'm speaking at the DoubleTree Hotel for the World Conference of Black Mayors. So we're staying very, very busy.
That's good. Thank you for joining us. Got to have you back. Dr. V. Issa White is in the building, candidate for U.S. Congress, Florida District 10. Went longer than what we thought. It was a 30-minute conversation, Orlando. I hope you enjoyed it. This was what we're here for. We're not here just to play music. We're here to inform and keep our people educated on issues that affect their well-being.
Thank you.
Back to more music. Thank you, Doc.
Thank you. I guess I could say...